Good evening. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 17, the Gospel of John chapter 17. We're going to be talking about Jesus' high priestly prayer. Some people call it the second Lord's Prayer, or maybe it should be called the first Lord's Prayer. I'm not sure of the number. The point is that this is a prayer by Jesus right before his death. John chapter 17. Since it was right before the cross, Jesus knew the night before the night was over, he'd be betrayed by Judas. He'd be put on trial before Annas and Caiaphas, and finally before Pilate, the Roman governor. He would be condemned, he would be mocked, he would be beaten. He would carry his cross to Golgotha. His hands and feet would be pierced, and not only would he bear the humiliation and pain of that event, but he would bear the sins of mankind on the cross. And because of this coming event, this coming crisis moment, Jesus went to the Father in prayer. If you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would you pray about? Probably change tonight's prayers, wouldn't it? It probably would. I think it would for all of us. Would you pray that the process of death be swift? Would you pray that the pain not be too great? Would you pray that God would have mercy on your soul? Would you pray about yourself, or would you be like Jesus? Would the focus of your prayer not only be on yourself, but also on others? And that's what I'd like to share with you tonight. The way we survive life's crisis times through prayer is not just praying about our need, but extending our horizons to pray for the needs of others. It keeps us spiritually healthy when we say, "Yes, Lord, may this cup be taken from me," but at the same time, be as Jesus, he was praying for his apostles and for the world, and that the Father be glorified through his death. Here's the sentence in one sermon. Prayer helps us keep the big picture in a time of crisis. Prayer helps us keep a perspective in times of crisis. And Jesus prayed that prayer in John 17. And prayer can be a tool that helps us in times of crisis and difficulty in life. Prayer may or may not change the events that we're struggling with, but prayer will change our hearts and how we deal with those events. This is true in the life of Jesus, and it can be true in our lives as well. Let's read verses 1 through 5 of John 17. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you've given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." In this phrase, when we apply it to ourselves, when we pray in a time of crisis, let's ask, "Lord, be glorified through this crisis in some way through me. Be glorified through this crisis." The NIV titles this that Jesus prays for himself. And you know, it's not wrong to pray for yourself in a time of crisis. Amen? We need to. Jesus, of course, prayed, "May this cup be passed." But the Father's will was not for the cup to be passed. It was that the cup of suffering be drunk. And therefore, Jesus' prayer in verse 1, "Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." We keep the big picture through times of crisis by asking this question: how can God be glorified through what I'm going through? And Lord, work through these circumstances. Yes, I want you to relieve me of this crisis, but even more, I want you to be glorified through this crisis. How can God be glorified through financial struggles? How can God be glorified through disease? How can God be glorified through problems with our mate or our children or our parents or our siblings or our next-door neighbor or our co-workers? You know what I'm talking about. How can God be glorified even in death? You as I have watched some Christians die. You've seen the difference that faith makes as we approach that final frontier. Death was a testimony to God's glory and God's faithfulness. So when we come in crisis, let us not just think about ourselves. We're going to be thinking about ourselves. Nothing wrong with that. But also let's ask, God, how can your name be glorified in this moment of crisis I'm in? The question helps me keep a big picture of what's going on in my life. It tells me it's not all about me. It's also about thee. And that's the time we look up to God. Number two tonight, Jesus prays for his apostles. Let's look at verse 6 through 19. And we apply this by asking, how can those close to me be blessed, even in this time of crisis I'm in? Listen to the words of Jesus in prayer to the Father. I have revealed you to those you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything that you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they're yours. All that I have, Father, is yours, and all that you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they're still in the world. I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them, that is the apostles, from the power, by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. And none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, that's Judas, so the scripture might be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, for they're not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of this world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you've sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. In these words, Jesus is saying, Father, I want you to be at work in the lives of the apostles. I want you to protect them. I want you to guide them. My work with them is nearing an end, but your work with them is just beginning. Jesus prayed specifically for the 12. These were men who were to take the good news to the gospel, to the world. These men were the legacy of his ministry. These men were also his close friends. We read in Mark chapter 3, Jesus said of those with him, these are my brothers and my mother and my sisters. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. The apostles were family to Jesus. We all have some folks we're close to, right, as family members. And most of us have an immediate family. We have an extended family. We have a circle of close friends. And we have a broader circle of acquaintances and friends. As Jesus approached the crisis of the cross, he was in prayer for his apostles. Was he in prayer for himself? Absolutely he was, but not only for himself. You see, we keep the big picture in times of crisis when we realize, again, it's not all about me, it's also about others. And that helps us with the perspective of life to endure the crisis. Notice the words that Jesus uses. Verse 11, protect them by the power of your name. Verse 12, when I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. And verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. Jesus was very concerned that his 12 be protected from the power of Satan. Have you noticed that? When Jesus was facing the crisis of the cross, he wanted God to be glorified through the event, yes. He also wanted his disciples, his close apostles, to be protected by the power of the Father. You see, Jesus, the Master, was going to the cross. Jesus was going to die. Jesus soon would not be with his 12. And who would shepherd them? Who would protect them? Who would guide them? The Father would. And that was the prayer of Jesus. Like Jesus in prayer during crisis, we keep the big picture by asking, how can those close to me be blessed by God? As a parent, I've had a lot of prayers for protection of my children. You know those prayers when the kids are growing up? Well, they're all grown up now. They still need prayers. They still need God's protection. Sometimes in a different way. But we pray for our kids because they're valuable to us. They're close to us. We want them to be blessed. In times of crisis, prayer helps us keep that big picture. That big picture. And that's what we're saying tonight. The teaching of Scripture is not to ignore our own needs, but also pray for the needs of others. When Paul talked about have this mind in you as it's also in Christ, what does he reference? Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the needs of others or the interest of others. You see, when we're in crisis, we tend to pull down onto ourselves. And in some way, we need a little bit of that. But if we only dwell on ourselves in times of crisis, what happens to our spirit? Jesus was able to pray for his apostles as he faced the cross. He broadened his horizons. He looked at the big picture. Yes, well, how can God be glorified through this? And secondly, how can the apostles be protected by the power of God? He was concerned with the big picture. When we lived in Washington, we knew an elder at a fellow congregation in our county named Willard. Willard was up in years, and Willard was hospitalized, not expecting to live long, and I went to see Willard. I went to encourage Willard because we knew that it wouldn't be too long before he passed. We didn't know how long, and as it was just a few days. And I walked into Willard's hospital room, and Willard's eyes lit up, and he said, "Mark, how are you? And how are the kids? How's the family?" And it was all I could do but not cry in his presence. Because here's a man who is nearing the end of his life. He knows his life is winding down. And what's he doing? "Mark, how are you and how are the kids?" He's not avoiding the reality of his end coming to this earth. He is expanding his soul because he was a man of God. He was an elder in the Lord's church. And he was expanding his soul beyond himself to say, "I'm concerned about other people." I went to encourage Willard as he lay near death. I came away encouraged by a man of God facing death who was too big to allow that crisis to narrow him down on himself. Number three tonight. Let me count it right. 1, 2, 3. Sunday night, I have trouble counting. Verse 20 through 26. In Jesus' prayer, he asks, "How can others be blessed?" Jesus says, "My prayer is not for these alone, the apostles. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that they all may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we're one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you gave me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you. They know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them." In this part of the prayer, Jesus turns his attention from "God be glorified through this death" to the apostles, "Lord, protect them by the power of your name. As I'm going to the cross, I'm not going to be here to protect them from Satan. God, Father, protect my apostles." And now he extends his horizons to the world and his whole, to those who will yet become Christians, even to us, and says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for all who will believe in me through their message." And that includes you and me, doesn't it? Did you know that we were on the mind of Jesus Christ as he approached the cross? You and I were on his mind. He was concerned about us. As Jesus faced that crisis of the cross, He prayed that God would be glorified, yes, that the apostles would be protected, yes, but also that all who would come to believe in him would be one so the world might know that the Father had sent him. Jesus is praying for people yet unborn when he faces the cross. And during our times of crisis, it helps broaden our soul when we remember it's not all about us. It's not all about our problem. It's not all about what we're dealing with right now. It's seeing a bigger picture and seeing down the road. During my conversation with Willard before he died, he asked how things were going in our congregation. And he, like Jesus, kept a mission focus for the Lord's kingdom right up to his death. That big perspective seen by Jesus' prayer is an indication of spiritual health and a reinforcement of spiritual health. So let me repeat one more time. It's not wrong to pray for yourself when you're hurting. Amen? It's not wrong to ask God to be involved in this crisis. Jesus prayed, right? Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done. But we need to broaden that perspective in crisis to remember it's not all about us. Jesus prayed that God would be glorified through the crisis. How can God be glorified through the crisis that we're feeling and in? Jesus prayed for his apostles, they'd be protected from the power of the evil one. We can pray for those close to us, that God would be with them through times of crisis as we are in crisis. Thirdly, Jesus prayed for those yet unborn, us, who would come to believe in him through the work of the apostles. You see, we save our souls in some ways by broadening the picture that it's not all about us. Do we need to express to God our hurt? Absolutely. Express to God our pain? Absolutely. But let's also express to God our hope and our prayer that he'd be at work beyond us and beyond the situation in which we find ourselves. Most of us brought some hurts to church tonight. They're people you're concerned with, problems in your own life and in mine. Jesus wants us to pray, take this cup from me. It's not wrong to pray about our own issues. But he also wants us to pray, Father, be glorified even in my pain. And Lord, work through my pain even for the good of others. And even those I don't know. Be at work in me through our pain. That's what kept Jesus, if you will, on the straight and narrow as he faced the cross. And I believe that's what keeps us in our hearts in tune with God and we face the crises of life. Lord, how can I glorify your name even in the midst of pain? Lord, how can those that I love be blessed? How can I reach out beyond myself, even in my time of crisis, to serve somebody else? And number three, how can the world be blessed by what I'm going through? Lord, help me to see something beyond myself. Jesus is the one who said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 16. So when we pray like Jesus and keep a bigger picture, in the middle of crisis, it's not all about us. It is about God's glory. It's about the good of those that we love, and it's about the good of those we may not even know yet. It's been said a man wrapped up in himself is a very small package. I agree. The Lord wants something bigger from us than that. It helps us not to withdraw into our turtle shell when we hurt. The big picture matters, and God is concerned about our crisis and our pain. But God wants us to work through that and see a bigger picture, like Jesus did. So let's pray together in just a moment. You brought pains, you brought concerns. Let's bring them to God. Let's bow. Father, as I present these thoughts, I marvel at the spiritual power of your Son. Lord, as he faced the cross, as he saw beyond himself and beyond the nails and beyond the humiliation and even beyond the bearing of sin to your purposes, Father, and to your glory. Lord, I'm not there. I focus so much on myself. Lord, I pray that I can learn to be more like Jesus and think more broadly, think in a more healthy way about the crises of life. Lord, as we pray corporately tonight, I pray that silently we bring to you those burdens, those concerns, those crosses, if you will, that we bear, that fear us, that causes anxiety, that causes to hurt, that causes, Father, to doubt and wonder. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we bear those in faith. Help us simply be more like your Son. We love him. We adore him. We honor him as yours, as the divine Son of you. Bless us to live more in his image. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to be more like Jesus, and that's a challenge. I want to have his Spirit, to pray like he prayed, to live as he lived, to deal with crisis as he dealt with crisis. I'm not there. You probably aren't either. As we close, we offer the Lord's invitation. If there are any here who have not yet begun the Christian journey by confessing their faith in Christ, being baptized into him, as the Bible teaches, the beginning step of faith and discipleship is to surrender yourself to Jesus, become his child, be obedient to the gospel of Christ, to begin the journey. Tonight, if you need to do that, or if you ask the prayers of this body in some way, we invite you to Christ, who understands all about nails and crosses and pains and fears, but also understands about hope and the power of God. Let's stand together and let's sing.